There we go, the John Curley Sherry-Ellica Show, diving into the news.
She got off the phone with Charlie. She said, they loved it, Dad.
Said, that's all that matters. The couple that's loved it. What now?
You know, sometimes for somebody who hasn't had kids, sometimes you come quickly to the defense of children.
Well, I think, I mean, you got to give her some credit. She's 20 years old. It's really hard to get up in front of a group of people and everybody's looking at you and all of that. And she relied on you to give her, I mean, she did her homework, right? She went to an expert to help her. And I thought she did great.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Wow. I stand corrected. You're.
And I'm sure she was great in Annie, too. So there.
That a whole nother story. I'm going to find video of that. All right, let's see. Moms in Washington struggling to get baby formula. This is, man, I'll tell you something. If you had a little kiddo and you're like watering down more of that formula, you can't find it. You go into the stores, you're rushing around trying to get it. I'm sure the city's got some sort of black market for it or something. But King 5 spoke to some moms.
I have had to now reach out to friends outside of the state to have it shipped to me. Which has been really stressful because if the package gets lost and we're running low, we have to put her on something else. And then with the fact that she's sensitive, she just gets so sick.
There was a couple weeks back where we had no formula left and we were on our last can. We've had to switch his formula three different times because of the shortage.
Yeah, it must be scary. You start to look in the cabinet, you're down to the scraping through the last little bits of those formula, because those kids can go through pretty quickly, like two or three scoops at a time in each bottle, and then each can. I forget how much they used to hold, but man, that is added stress to being a young mom and a young dad, and then to have the kid and then not be able to know where the next can is coming from.
And they say that you can't change the formula. Like, I didn't know that. And it's supposed to be kind of dangerous to switch them around and also to water it down. These kids get 100% of their nutrition sometimes from that formula. So watering it down isn't a great idea. And these are really little babies, right? I mean,
they're boobers.
I mean, it's got to be terrifying for young parents.
That's why they call it infant formula. We used to try, we had the system down. It was such a great system because we didn't want to have to really wake up. Charlie would sleep between us when she's a little teeny tiny kid. That's why she's probably bad at those speeches. And so we'd have a big thermos of water. It was at the perfect temperature. And we would preload these bottles with two scoops. And then without even really thinking, you know, the kid's just sleepy. And you'd put the hot water into the bottle, and then you'd put the top onto the nipple thing on there, and then you'd shake it up, and then boop, plop it right in her mouth in between the two of us. And then, oh my, so it was, because you're so, they're waking up every 2 hours, depending on the size of their stomach. And I remember one night, I pour the water into the container, into the bottle. I was like, okay, God. And I put the lid with the nibble thing on there, but I forget to screw it shut, and I go to shake it up, and I just shake it, and the top flies off, and the crap goes everywhere. Here's why we have the problem. There's about four manufacturers. The Trump administration slapped a tariff on Canadian formula that could have come in. We could have. FDA officials are allowed to go to Canada if you wanted to inspect the manufacturers up there, but they made it very, very hard. So we have a sweetheart deal with these four manufacturers because they're in bed with the government, because most of the stuff that's purchased is purchased by the government. The reason they fight so hard for these contracts, and they discount the can to the government, which is buying about 80%, 75 or 70% of all of this formula is purchased by the government through WIC. And the reason they want to do this is because then it's available on the shelves and it gets a bit greater shelf space, because once they sort of get the WIC contract and so many people get formula from WIC, that it's in the supermarket, it's right up front and there's a lot of it. So it's very hard if you're a young competitor to come in and try to create baby formula, because you can't possibly discount it to the discount that these major manufacturers are doing, because they are in such a close sweetheart in bed deal with the government. So that's why you have only these three major manufacturers, or four major manufacturers of this, and that's why you have the shortage that we have right now. So if you like government involved, This is what you get. If you want to be involved with Medicare, Medicaid, you want to do single payer, you will have less competition. It's harder to get started when three manufacturers produce just for the one giant consumer, which is the government, which gives away so much of it for free.
Well, Abbott, the one that's in question, has come up with a consent decree with the FDA. So they're going to go in, inspect, and then start production. But it's going to take 2 weeks to restart, another 6 to 8 weeks to get the products back on the shelves. And they say the shortage will not be resolved until the end of the year.
Oh, golly. I saw that the Surgeon General suggested that you go to your pediatrician and ask for free samples.
Well, that's not going to last very long. I mean, how many free samples could they possibly have? And they have so many patients. I mean, they're going to start importing now from different countries. But this, you know, hopefully they will be able to make production a little bit faster than that. But the end of the year, I mean, if you're a young mom, can you imagine hearing that news? That you might have to be.
Yeah.
One lady said she called 16 stores every day. She would wake up and call every store to see if they got their shipment in.
Oh, my. The Canadian or the producer in the UK is flying air shipping. A whole bunch of airplanes are coming in with cases and cases, pallets and pallets of this formula into the United States to do what they can. But certainly when they had the original problem in October, didn't they see this was going to be a problem? And wouldn't they have gotten on this sooner? The guy in charge of the FDA has got kind of a checkered past. He was also being blamed by Bernie Sanders, getting both whacked from left and right for what was happening during the whole opiate problem. Then he left, went away, made a bunch of money. Silicon Valley came back again, got rehired. He was part of the Obama administration. Now he's back in. He barely got approved as the FDA head. I think he passed 48 votes against him or something of what it was, but he's back in there again. So you always failing up with a job like that. When it comes to gas, what are you supposed to do? How about cutting the gas tax?
I'm once again calling for a rebate on the gas tax through the end of the year.
This is State Senator John Brown.
To give working families around the state some relief in response to the huge increases in gas prices we've seen over the last year, and in particular in the last month, and broadly the pressures they're feeling from inflation on all kinds of things.
So Maryland and Georgia have done this. I think they only did it for like about 30 days or something. Price came way down in Maryland, Georgia as well. But then they said, oh, the problem is people are driving more because they don't have the price indicator that they shouldn't drive because the price has come down. So what's happening is supply is or demand is meeting the supply because people don't have to pay as much for it. So now they're driving more. That's part of the normal occasion when you start to mess around with these things. Price did come down almost 30 or 40 cents in Maryland, and I think about the same in Georgia. Again, temporary. They put it in place only temporarily. So what do you think will happen? This is not the first time apparently that they've done this tax.
We called for it during session, of course. That would have been the right time to do it. I called for it last time. We had a revenue report, and we had one Friday, and it showed once again that revenues continue to come in above the projection, so we have some additional money. We could afford to do this. It's not a situation where we're going to shortchange transportation funding or shortchange any services paid for by the operating budget. We have extra funds that we could divert to cover this rebate through the end of the year. I think it's the right thing to do for the people around the state of Washington. They're having, frankly, a tough time.
Yeah. One last little cut from him. He says the lack of motivation from Democrats is because of climate change.
I certainly think there's some of this. It's kind of ideological. We don't like gas, combustion driven engines. We want to force that. So I think that's it with some folks. And I think they don't realize that. And I'm not opposed to making that transition over time, but we can't do it today. And people have to pay their grocery bill today. So let's make it a little easier for people in the near term and have a longer term plan to make that transition.
What's it about $2,000 for the average American per year on the cost of gas going up, the additional cost?
Yeah, exactly. And he said that May revenue collection is up about $428 million from February. So that could allow for the tax to be suspended. And the state really wouldn't lose that much money. Other states are trying different things. In California, they're thinking about giving $400 rebates. In in Chicago, they want to maybe give out gas cards to people that aren't, you know, able to pay for to low-income families. And yeah, and Georgia, Maryland, Connecticut all did the gas suspension or the tax suspension. So how much, when's the last time you got gas, and how much did you pay? Do you remember?
You mean stuff in the, okay, oh, in the car gas? I think it's close to $5 in the Easton. I won't spend any money in King County. I would push my car out of gas out of King County, spend money some other county. So I always fill up here. I don't know, $4.86 something or other. I don't know. And I put the cheapest stuff in there. 87's the cheapest. I'm like, do you have like something that mixes in with like water? Like how about 63? You got a premium 63? Just some real cheap stuff. So I $4.86, something like that. Yes.
Okay. I think I paid $5.19. The last time I got gas.
Now, would you drive to Maryland in order to take advantage of the cheaper stuff?
No.
No, you wouldn't do that. Because they see a lot of people in Virginia, they're driving to Maryland to fill up and get gas there.
Yeah, I mean, my parents live in Maryland, so I'm there every week. So I guess I could. I really haven't seen that much of a difference, to tell you the truth.
Well, it has dropped, so you might, you know, for you, what is a couple of nickels, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Really, when I send the fleet out to get gassed up with the help,
right. I'm still trying
to
figure
not to
out.
Worry.
I kept telling you, I got to try to make my own gas, and everyone's like, I think that's a bad. Jacob's like, I think that's a bad idea. John Durham has finally got a chance to go to trial. The hard part is kind of trying to find a jury. I know when they were asking the jury, this is for the case. Here's the case that GPS, Fusion GPS, and Kui Perkins, and the Democratic National Committee, and Hillary Clinton all got together and said, hey, let's accuse Donald Trump of in cahoots with the Russians. So then they hired this other guy that came up with the Steele dossier. And this guy named Michael Sussman went to the FBI and said, listen, I'm just a regular American citizen. I'm just doing this because I'm concerned. I think there's something going on with Donald Trump and the Russians. I've got some evidence. I'm just a regular citizen. I'm not working for anybody. Because then the FBI said, are you working for anybody? No, I'm just a citizen. Well, there, so you can't lie to the FBI. It is the case. John Durham has to prove Michael Sussman lied to the FBI. It's the beginning of the charges. They think he's going to be able to say, see, this is a crime. You can't lie to the FBI. When they asked you, are you working for somebody? He says, no, I'm just somebody just, but you might want to take a look at this. And what you might not take a look at this and this and this and this. And the stuff he was telling them to look at was all crap. But what he was hoping to do was to get this stuff rolling. And they started this thing in 2016. And now, finally, it is going to trial today. Congressman Devin Nunes was asked.
Let's just take a step back. Why does this matter to the American people, right? This is, we're 4 or 5 years after the fact that this all started. Well, this is a dark chapter of American history, for sure. But here, it's a slippery slope, right? In 15, 16, you have the Clinton campaign, DNC. They concoct this, working with DOJ, FBI, the Obama administration. But the media gives them a pass on it, and they were involved in it because they said, well, it's just Donald Trump. And, you know, he should never be elected president, so let's just go after him, right? And we knew that at the time, we had circumstantial evidence. They were trying to hide the Hillary Clinton, you know, servers that were destroyed and the emails. It was all part of a game. And then you go forward, Donald Trump's elected, and then they continue to spy on him. They waste $40 million on a phony Mueller investigation. As Cash and I and the Republicans in Congress led this effort with really hardly anyone in the news media, you know, Maria, you were one of the few that actually gave us time to actually get the facts out. Well, now where are we today? You had a Congress who Democrats did nothing. The media continued to cover up. Judges continued to cover this up. And what does this result in? It results in what you see today, which is now you have leaks from the Supreme Court of the United States. You have protests at the Supreme Court justices' homes. So it starts as dirty political tricks 5 years later. ends up with really just the deterioration over time of every institution in this country. So what Durham has to do here, there's a big load that's on his shoulders that he's carrying, because these institutions have to be cleaned up, and Durham is the only guy in position to actually get that done.
Now, Durham is a government guy, but he's not exactly, as the Wall Street Journal says, playing on the home field, because when they went to interview the jury, are you political? Have you ever donated to another campaign? Did you vote for Donald Trump? No, absolutely not. I would never vote for him. So most of the people that were sitting in the jury are not Trump fans at all. They voted for Hillary. They liked Hillary. They know some of the names, but not all of the names. And even the judge herself said to the jury, listen, this is not about Donald Trump and not about Hillary Clinton. Yes, it is. Much in the opening sort of instructions. Sure it is. It's about the fact that this stuff was concocted, and then they tried to get it into the media, which they did, and then everybody took off with it, and then you had people saying, yeah, he's in cahoots with the Russians. And now they're trying to prove that the FBI knew that the Steele dossier wasn't true, but continued to sort of keep this thing going. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to move this thing forward. If it just, the jury has, I think, 2 weeks on this one. Did Michael Sussman lie to the FBI and tell the FBI that he wasn't working for anyone else? And, you know, people going, well, that's really not any kind of a case. The people that are pushing Durham have now purchased a giant bit of advertising down at Times Square. They got, you know, the board that lights up down there?
Mm-hmm. Sherry,
you'd buy. Yeah, the guy has bought this thing, and, you know, he's flashing Durham and learn more about Durham and hashtag this, and trying to get somebody to notice it and talk about it. So,
yeah,
there we are.
Yeah. Jury is pretty well slanted based on what they've been able to report in terms of them saying they, some of them had absolute disdain for Donald Trump. So, be interesting to see what happens.
Right, and they say, listen, just okay, you can hate the guy for all reasons you want to. The question is, did this guy break this law? That's what you're looking at.
Right.
Now, whether
did he have
able to sort of,
yeah, did he have anything to do with Hillary Clinton when he went to say that he had that Trump had a back channel to Putin? And yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Well, we'll see. There we go.
We're a business. We're here to make money, but not off of other people's misery.
That's right. No misery here, although we are a business. We do want to remind you, Buggy's Buggy's Auto Service Center. Buggy's been around for 52 years. They got 16 locations. That's where you take your car ticket to Buggy's. Buggy's Auto Service Centers. I'm taking my the car with all the weird dirt and hair and banana peels and dog poop in it, taking it to the dealer tomorrow. Not the dealer, to the guy down the street. And I was like, should I clean it up? It's like, nah. He seems sort of messy himself. Won't be that big of a deal. So,
is it to be repaired, or what are you doing at the dealer?
Change the oil.
Oh, he doesn't care. It's okay.
No, that's fine. I would never it to a valet. Hoo boy, you know, never do that.
Yeah. Good idea.
Thank you. You see, they judgy-judge. They judgy-judge. Living as a nun, is it a good idea? There's a piece in the New York Times talking about what life is like as a nun. Paula, my first wife, was in that great show, Nonsense. Andrew, hit it!
Woo!
Yeah!
Woo! Woo!
Everybody!
Woo!
Sherry, you're first.
Some folks think of convents as the places where we pray. But let us tell you, convents are much more than that today. We're dedicated people, but we like to have our fun.
We're here tonight to share with you the humor of the nun.
Is habit forming, let us tell you why.
Okay. All right, Andrew, stop it. Thank you.
There's definitely an uptick.
Yeah, that's it. There's an uptick in people tuning away. All right, thank you, Andrew. So what is life at the convent for people now?
Well, life at the convent apparently is a lot of fun, and so they are advertising this on TikTok. They're apparently getting millions of views and followers, and one of the nuns has a TikTok handle, @nunsforthepeople. Mm-hmm. And what she's saying is that if they don't let people know that they are out there and that they're still, you know, spreading the word, they're going to die out. 87% of both men and women in religious service are 60 years or older. So they're really trying to not necessarily recruit people, but what they're trying to do is demystify it. They're trying to spread the word of Jesus and all of the good things the Catholic Church has to offer, according to them.
And in order to encourage people, like, for instance, do nuns have pockets?
So today we're going to talk about nun pockets. Anybody who went to Catholic school or hung out with nuns or hangs out with nuns who wear a traditional habit knows that we have special pockets. They are humongous, and we could carry a whole lot of stuff in them. They're like clown pockets. So let's take a look at what I have in my nun pockets. First and foremost,
nun pockets.
Lip balm. Nun pockets. My lips are always dry, so I have to always have lip balm on me at all times. I have a backup just in case that lip balm disappears. It's very important for me to have a backup.
And this is going to help people want to become nuns?
So that I don't freak out. I also have Neosporin with pain reliever because you never know when you're going to need that. I wish I could carry duct tape in this pocket, but it would stick out too much and it would look like I was even more pear-shaped than I already am. I also carry this stuff to moisturize the inside of your nostrils because our content has radiated.
Okay, so she's got lip balm, Neosporin, and then stuff for her dried nostrils.
Yeah, these are big pockets.
Where do I sign up?
But that's not all they do. I mean, they have one thing on there where they all do this kind of dance about their preferences, and it's done to It's Tricky by Run-DMC. They have lip-syncing contests.
I know. Jacob just trying to find, well, lip-sync without chapped lips. Jacob just trying to find the most boring. Here's one. How about this vow of celibacy?
People who keep asking about whether or not nuns in the Episcopal Church can get married. No, we can't. We take a vow of celibacy, and I think it's very nice that you would think that anybody would ever want to marry any of us anyway, because most of us in religious life are socially awkward nerds who rarely ever got dates anyway before we came into the community. So taking a vow of celibacy when you're somebody who has no game whatsoever is not that difficult.
Well, I'd hate to think that she's like, well, I can't get anybody, so I'm going to become a nun. What came first, the awkward woman or the nun?
I don't know. Well, I think what they're trying to say now, though, is that they're not just awkward women and they're not just boring, that they do normal things and they get, they're socially active and they get involved in causes and things like that. The other thing is that companies are now sending them things. So, for instance, Salon Paz sent them a bunch of pain. Some of these nuns that have TikTok accounts because they've talked about the fact that they guess, they do certain things and they need pain relief. I don't know. They sent them that.
Okay, stop. Stop. Stop yourself.
They're in improv groups.
I know you read the whole article. Just relax.
I did. All right,
back
I'm
off.
Just saying.
Hang on.
Some of you asked if I could sing a little bit of our Gregorian chant, which we sing at the Divine Office. So I'm going to sing a little sample.
Nobody asked. She's just doing this to show off.
Sample of it. But I want to issue a disclaimer. I'm not an expert in Gregorian chant. This is just the way we do it. I'm also not formally trained. I've just picked it up by ear and got some tips here and there from the other sisters.
All right.
So I'm going to sing a little sample, and I'll sing the first.
This better be good because long
first verse. So you can.
Here's something from our new album.
Get a sense of how it sounds.
Okay.
Wisdom of eternity, born in a likeness, sharing our mortality, knowing our weakness.
Okay, really, Jacob? 11 minutes of this? What are you trying to do to us?
I cut down the 3 minutes of her talking about the contents of her pockets. So I thought I'd
get you really lay it on with the chanting. Oh, my God. God bless those nuns.
They got millions of followers.
I'll bet they do. When they caught Louis Milioni doing things that he wasn't supposed to, then I told you the story before. They came into the bathroom with us. They'd stand next to the big long line of urinals. Let's see how well you remember. You ready? Will Sherry remember what the nuns said to John when it came time to go pee-pee? They would say, John? A, time to go pee-pee. B, go now. Or C, ponies out of the barn.
I'm going with C, ponies out of the barn.
You are correct. It is ponies out of the barn. And then how many seconds did they give us to do God's natural business? Was it 11 minutes, 13 seconds, or 3 seconds?
I'm going with B, 13 seconds.
You are correct. Congratulations. This means you listen to my stories about Catholic school.
She clearly did it.
I
want to issue a disclaimer. I'm not an expert in Gregorian chant. This is...
Okay.
Just
any questions
wondering...
about anything? Yes. Yes.
I'm just wondering what I stumbled into.
Louis got caught doing something, and then they were afraid that we were all doing the same sort of thing in the bathroom, so the nuns would come in. The nun would come in and stand next to the line of urinals, and then she'd say, okay, ponies out of the barn. You have 13 seconds, and then you had to go. You had 13 seconds to do God's natural business.
I went to Catholic school, too. I had nuns.
Okay, and?
They were mean.
Okay, any ponies?
No ponies that I can remember.
Thank you. All right, now traffic.
Not allowed.
All right. Yeah, whew. But there were rulers. Okay.
Oh, yeah. I know. I know. Yeah, here we go. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. That'd be a good idea. Hey, another great idea. Just thought of this, Sherry. How about the State Roofing text line? 1-888-973-5476. All are welcome.
It's just the way we do it. I'm also not formally trained. I've just picked it up by ear and got some.
So many of you are writing, hey, do that to Gregorian chant again. Okay.
Here's somebody
any other questions
texted
in the last... Huh? Yes. What they
were. At Seattle University, the nuns were the only hip ones who knew what was going on in the world, and they never tried to do stuff that would be a number on me, like some of the priests did.
Okay. All right. All right. Is this where
this
we're going?
Is why
now,
we.
Huh?
This is why I try to edit the letters before we. Read
thank. Yeah. Before you just okay. blast them out
right.
there.
Okay.
Let's do a story about you, Sherry.
Okay.
This is a dating expert who explains. How to tell if somebody's really into you on a date. Then they don't yell ponies out of a barn. All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah. Quick tip to tell if somebody fancies you. I can't remember where I heard this from, but since I heard it.
I detect a slight accent. Am I the only one?
Yeah, but don't do it. No accents.
That's right. Accents.
I just notice people doing it all the time. So basically, if you're speaking to someone and they scratch the back of their hand, it means that they fancy you. It's some kind of subconscious grooming thing. But honestly, you'll notice people doing it, and it's wild.
Huh. I thought that meant you're going to come into money. Or that's scratching the palm of your
hand. That's the palm, yes.
Yeah.
This is the
but
back,
the back
of,
your hand means they got plans for you.
They've got some kind of grooming that they're doing. I don't know what sort of primal grooming is done with the back of your hand, but yeah, so keep an eye out for that. You know, if you're out somewhere and talking to somebody and they start scratching the back of their hand, they fancy you.
This is a dating expert giving this wonderful advice while driving in her car.
Well, she's probably driving to a date. She's a dating expert, so she probably has lots of dates. She's going there looking for people scratching the back of their hands.
I have never heard of that. I don't think I've ever seen that. Have you, Sherry?
No, somebody wrote in on this particular article and said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life watching people not do that.
Yes. I have heard that if you are talking to a woman and if she's interested in you, she will play with her hair,
mm-hmm.
Like put it behind her ear, or will reach out and touch you on the arm.
That's, yes, I think those are two pretty good symbols of somebody being interested in you. If they like squeeze your forearm.
Yeah. I've also heard,
okay.
If you're right. And if you're a guy, have strong eye contact, try not to break eye contact and avoid blinking for as long as possible.
That's a little creepy. I heard one just the other day that if you want to get somebody's attention, all right, you look at their left eye.
Just a second. Just think about it. Think about just not blinking, just staring at the person.
So you have a stare down. Okay.
No, just the guy. But what'd you go ahead? What'd you
okay? Hear? You look at their left eye, their chin, and then their right eye, and that's a flirtatious thing, and that'll give them shivers. Should left make, eye, yeah. Chin, right eye.
Should you, as you're switching from one focal point to the next, should you make like a sound like bing,
bong, boop,
beep,
yeah, beep,
beep, beep,
beep, beep, ring, ring,
bong, boop, ring, ring.
By the way,
then scratch the back of your hand.
We made it through an entire story about you saying the word hand, and at no point did Andrew play a rim shot. So that's, I think we're all making improvements.
Yeah, we're maturing.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Here we go. All right, fine. Again, I said this yesterday to you, Jacob. People need a glossary to follow along with the show because it's getting really weird.
The glossary. That way? The difficult thing about the glossary is that we'd have to update it at the end of every show, too.
Or during the show.
Yeah, or yeah, as it's happening. I lose track of all that stuff.
All right. Nikki, are you along for the ride?
I'm here, baby.